This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester. I'm not joined by Tags today. Unfortunately, Tags' grandpa passed away. He loved listening to the show and watching Tags, quote-unquote, look old on YouTube. Tags, wish you and your family didn't have to deal with this man, and we, of course, miss you on the show. I'm not alone today, though, of course. I'm joined by Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports, and he's on Twitter at his name, Scott_Pianowski. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and we're going to be touching on some news, then talk sleepers for the rest of the show, and Scott is the perfect guest for this show because he's been unbelievably accurate every year in our expert accuracy competition. Last year, he finished third out of 156 in running back ranking accuracy and fourth for wide receivers. Scott, I've really been looking forward to picking your brain. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for not mentioning how mediocre my quarterback and tight end rankings must have been last season.
I mean, you still finished in the top quartile overall, and I believe that was your worst performance in several years. So as far as I'm concerned.
The big thing is I got to beat all my Yahoo teammates, and I think Andy Behrens was second overall.
He was, yes.
Yeah, he's lording that over me. Dalton may have finished ahead of me, too. But, you know, much respect and love to Fantasy Pros. I love what you guys do. It's a great way. It brings the industry together. And I think it all encourages us to get better. I mean, your ranking is an imprecise science and all that. The game is a lot of art in addition to a lot of science. But you guys provide an invaluable resource, one resource that I use as a player. I want to win my leagues, too. So I spend daily, I'm on the Fantasy Pros website, and just thanks for being an enhancement to the games. I mean, it's never been a better time. My baseball guest on my podcast today, Rob Silver, was saying it's never been a better time to be a baseball fan. You know, you watch anything you want. There's all these great websites, all these great writers, and certainly that all is true for fantasy football as well.
Well, thanks for saying all the nice things about fantasy football. I love what we do. I love this website and all the guys developing the tools to help you guys win. It's awesome stuff. They do a great job. So we're going to get to the news here in just a second, but first I want to tell you about our Draft Assistant. The Draft Assistant helps you optimize picks during your draft with the least amount of stress. The assistant comes in two separate forms, depending on the level of premium membership you have. Pro members can use our manual Draft Assistant, which is great for getting pick-by-pick advice and player suggestions during offline drafts. MVP and Hall of Fame members have access to our Draft Assistant with Sync, which allows you to sync your online draft with our Draft Wizard and get pick suggestions and high-quality advice throughout your draft. We support leagues on Yahoo, ESPN, CBS Sports, NFL.com, and many others. Both Draft Assistants consider your personal cheat sheet, team needs, and positional scarcity to suggest players you should consider drafting. We even give you a running breakdown of your team's strengths and weaknesses as the draft progresses. The last thing you want to do during your draft is struggle with a complicated tool, so we've done everything we can to make our Draft Assistant an absolute breeze to use. Not only are you going to be familiar with the interface by the time of your draft, since the default view is the exact same as our draft simulator, but you can also select a streamlined view that will allow you to see your draft room and the Draft Assistant on the same screen. MVP or Hall of Fame members who have synced an ESPN or NFL.com draft with our Draft Wizard can use our Copilot feature, which enables you to draft players straight from our Draft Assistant. Take the stress out of your draft and crush your competition with our Draft Assistant at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Hey, by the way, since we're talking sleepers, I wanted to mention we've also got a video, our top 5 deep sleepers, on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/fantasypros. And also on Tuesday, we're going to release our consensus sleepers article that we do every year. We pulled 63 experts from across the industry on their top sleepers at each position. Listeners can check it out at fantasypros.com/NFL/articles. All right, guys, so we've got a little bit of news to talk about before Scott and I give you our top sleepers. I'm also going to share Tag's top sleepers because he did write an article. I'm just gonna name them, though. He can talk to you about them when he comes back. The first piece of news, and this is coming out from Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio. He reports that Antonio Brown has reported to the Oakland Raiders. I've moved him back up to my wide receiver 8. Scott, where are you taking him at this point?
Yeah, he's closer to 9 or 10 on my board. I'm not eager to take him. There's a lot of receivers I consider in that first tier, including Mike Evans, including Tyreek Hill, now that his situation has resolved. I just feel like you're inviting the circus into town when you deal with Brown. And even if, you know, even if the helmet issue is resolved, even if he wants to be a Raider, I think he's quickly going to realize, I'm not playing with Ben Roethlisberger anymore. I'm not playing with a perennial contender. I know the Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year, but they've always been good when Brown's been there. And this Raider team just has 6-10 written all over it. I wonder if they can keep Brown on the reservation for 4 months. So he's somebody who I have eagerly avoided in my early drafts, and I think that's going to continue through the balance of draft season.
You know, that's a really interesting thought, isn't it? That this kind of diva wide receiver, he's finally playing on a team that's not going to compete. I'm sorry if you're a Raiders fan, but I don't think they're going to be, you know, competing with the Kansas City Chiefs or the Los Angeles Chargers. In fact, I think the Chargers might be better. So maybe Antonio Brown just, you know, isn't really the same player. And I'm looking at the last couple years, okay, yards per target, 9.0, 9.4, 9.5, 8.3, 9.4. And then last year, 7.7. What happened? He had the 15 touchdowns, which propped up his fantasy points, but I'm worried that maybe he's kind of hitting that wall a little bit.
Yeah, he's certainly in the back nine of his career. And, you know, you mentioned the touchdowns. I like to call it touchdown deodorant when somebody has kind of an ordinary season. I mean, look, even his ordinary season was still probably a Pro Bowl-level season. It's not like he's not a good player, but you drafted Antonio Brown for him to be the best or the second-best fantasy receiver, and he got there because of the touchdown count, which I'm never going to bet on that with Derek Carr now. And it's just a case of I'd rather be a year early or a year or two early on some of these declines than a year too late. And yeah, I can tell myself a story where I can see Mike Evans being the number one fantasy receiver. I can see Tyreek Hill being the number one fantasy receiver. Talking about guys who will go around Brown, I mean, certainly the people who go in the first round at receiver are players. I think most of us are comfortable taking DeAndre Hopkins or taking Davante Adams or taking Julio Jones or whoever it is. A little bit nervous maybe on Beckham. Just he changed teams. And I think Baker Mayfield may be a throw to the guy who's open quarterback more than I'm going to pepper my main guy with targets. Of course, Beckham's going to be open an awful lot, but I'm not as eager to draft Beckham as some people are. But Brown, I am generally, you know, the idea is don't say never. You might walk into a room, maybe everybody dislikes a player and the price gets really cheap. And I guess there's been enough pushback with Brown that maybe some people are going to fade him enough that I guess he might get into the third round and I'll face a decision. I'll flat say right now, he's not a top 2 round pick for me. I'm not going to take him in the top 25. So he would really need to slip before I have that conversation.
I would agree with that, absolutely. Andy's got the frostbite issue going on as well, which is just ridiculous. I wouldn't take him until the late third. You mentioned a name earlier, Mike Evans. That's who I'm getting. If I'm getting a wide receiver in the early third, late second round, I feel pretty good about that. And Odell Beckham, I've got him as my number 4 wide receiver. I love the situation because he's so talented. He's finally playing with a good quarterback. But he's missed 16 games over the last 2 years. Lots of soft tissue injuries in his past. And something you always preach is avoid injury optimism. So I'm not going to have any shares of Odell Beckham probably.
No, I agree. And you know me, I'm a fade injury optimism guy. So that's somebody who that's generally something that's one of my concepts going into the season. And the only thing about Mike Evans that I don't like, and I like a lot about Mike Evans, quarterback's good enough. Maybe not good, but good enough. The running game stinks. But I'm so excited to draft Chris Godwin. And I know that's gotten really pricey to the point that maybe all the value is getting sucked out of Godwin. But I'm so excited about Godwin that maybe it makes me a little bit less excited to draft Evans. But I think Evans is a tremendous value. And I'd be shocked. I don't know if the Buccaneers are going to be any good. and their defense might stink. Some people dispute the idea that a bad defense helps a passing game. I think it actually generally does, but there's been some data that suggests maybe that's not true. But I already have a lot of Evans and Godwin, and I think that number is going to get higher before the end of the draft season.
I'm fine with both of them. You know, I'd have Mike Evans a lot higher if it weren't for Chris Godwin, of course, but I'm still fine with drafting Mike Evans as my number 7 or 8 wide receiver off the board, and I've got Godwin at 16. So I'm taking it you're not drafting DK Metcalf. He's getting knee surgery. I'm wondering what his ADP is going to look like after we hear this news. I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but I'm not interested.
No, I generally don't draft rookie receivers anyway. I know that we talked about Mike Evans. 2014 was the year where all the rules were broken with rookie receivers, but generally they've been a bad investment. It's just the game is so much harder at the pro level, and I guess this maybe opens up the door. David Moore might have been a nice value pick anyway, but now he's clearly the number two receiver until Metcalf can get back in the field. Who's to say how soon they trust Metcalf again? So Moore is in play for me. The thing that's really kind of funny for the Seattle offense, this is the first year I've been out on Russell Wilson. I actually liked Russell Wilson his rookie year. I went on Sirius Radio, the RotoWire program, and I always talk about whatever they want to talk about. I said before Russell Wilson's rookie year, I said one week, I want to talk about Russell Wilson. Ask me about Russell Wilson. I've been in on this guy his whole career, and we know they want to run the ball probably more than any good team in the NFL. Wilson was a little bit reluctant to run himself last year, didn't have any rushing touchdowns. The efficiency was ridiculous, but the attempts went down. There's so many good answers to quarterback, so many right answers to quarterback, that if you're not in love with somebody, like Andrew Luck's got the injury concerns, I'm not in love with that. You know, Wilson, I don't like who he's throwing to. I mean, Lockett was great last year, and he'll probably be great again, but I mean, how many targets can he realistically absorb, even with Baldwin out? Because I'm not in love with the Wilson setup, I look at all these other quarterbacks I can't wait to draft. This will be the first year Russell Wilson is probably not a part of my fantasy portfolio. Again, part of it speaks to the depth of the position, but it's a little bit of a new ground for me. I do see a case for David Moore being like your last pick in a best ball or even a seasonal league. Although it's harder to trust a player like that seasonally because you have to call the opportunity before the game starts. But at least he's a little bit on the radar now. Metcalf, I wasn't going to draft anyway. Now he's basically not even on my sheet.
Scott, you're going to have to say something this show that I disagree with. Otherwise, it's going to be fairly boring. I love David Moore. I'm down on Russell Wilson. I've got him as my QB 16 right now. I mean, he finished QB 9 last year with an 8.2% touchdown rate. His career rate going into that year was 5.8. Like you said, he barely ran the ball. Barely ran the ball more than Aaron Rodgers, who had a broken leg. And he only threw the ball 427 times. Not in on Russell Wilson. I love David Moore. We're going to talk about him later, of course. He's been one of my favorites for months, and now the situation is obviously better. Now, two other notes from last night in the preseason. Kerryon Johnson was pulled on all third downs. That's really concerning for everyone thinking he was going to be a workhorse and rank him as, you know, a fringe RB1. I don't have him in my top 20. And then Damian Williams, I had him out of my top 20 because Andy Reid's preaching, hey, this is going to be a running back committee. And then here he goes. He played every snap on the first drive, and then he was done. That sounds like a clear-cut RB1 to me. Now, what do you think about Kerryon Johnson and Damian Williams now that we have these pieces of news, or does it not mean so much?
Yeah, I had Kerryon Johnson ranked before Williams a few days ago, and now I'm wondering if I need to revisit that. I bought into the very digestible narrative that once Theo Riddick was out of town, I didn't think Theo Riddick was really a good player anyway, and they were kind of wasting their time with Riddick. But once they moved on from Riddick, that third down situation opened up. And, you know, I know C.J. Anderson played well at the end of last year, but he still was a street free agent. He's kind of a journeyman. He's with the Raiders for 10 minutes. He's with the Rams for, you know, basically 30 minutes. And now he's gone in Detroit. You know, what can the expectations realistically be? So it's disappointing to see Johnson not get this work. I mean, with all the coach speak that we get and all the things we need to, you know, does this matter? Does this not matter? The most important thing that teams can do is speak via usage. And we have to try to extrapolate what the preseason games mean. And usually it's more about when are they using somebody versus how are they playing. You know, a lot of that stuff has so much noise built in. Team defenses are vanilla. Maybe teams are focusing on certain things or saving stuff for the regular season. But the fact that Johnson wasn't getting any of the third down work, I think I need to pull back from him a little bit. I thought he was a justifiable second, third round turn pick. Now maybe he just goes into that kind of uncertain third round bucket where there's a lot of guys you're not really sure how to feel about them. I think Damian Williams is one of the toughest calls the draft season because he was outstanding last year, but he's got no resume and he's got no thickness to that resume. And he's never had more than 50 or 60 carries in a season. We know Andy Reid generally tends to have that one back he leans on. I think a lot of times that's been based on the backs he's had, not just because he's dead set, dead certain on that.
Like when it was Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware, he used both of them a lot.
Right. I mean, it's like when people say in Tampa Bay, well, I like O.J. Howard, but Bruce Arians doesn't throw to the tight end. Well, has he ever had a tight end as talented as O.J.
Yes.
Howard? You know, the best coaches are going to go personnel to scheme, not scheme to personnel. Andy Reid's one of the best offensive designers we've ever seen. So I think he's going to play to his talent. If he decides that, you know, one guy is the guy, fine. If he decides multiple players can get involved, that's fine too. Williams has seeped into the third round for me. He usually has been going just a little bit early for me in the drafts I've already completed. But you know, after this usage in this preseason game, I think I need to reevaluate. Maybe he's justifiable at the second, third round turn. I'm not saying I'm in with both cleats, but I think I may have been too pessimistic of him earlier in draft season, and now I need to revisit that.
So would you rather have Damian Williams right now than Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, Melvin Gordon?
You know, I hate saying this because I've been out of Fournette like his entire career, but I'm coming around on Fournette. I don't see a ton of competition there. They're going, I think there's 15 or 20 extra catches maybe for him in this offense, and he's not a zero in the passing game to begin with. They have a good defense. They have an ordinary quarterback. They just want Foles not to lose the game, make a couple of good throws, basically not be Blake Bortles. So it's really easy to tell yourself a story of Fournette having dedicated volume every week, projectable carries, projectable touches. And that's such a huge part of cracking the code of fantasy football, is just knowing where the ball's going to go every week. So Fournette has always been somebody I either didn't want to pick, or he'd be a pick if everybody else just gave him to me for a price that was unrealistic. I'd take it, you know, like kind of a reactive pick. I've actually been making proactive Leonard Fournette picks this year in the third round, and it's a very unusual spot for me to be in. Just somewhere I haven't been before. Aaron Jones is tricky. New team. Not sure how durable he is. Of course, Fournette's hurt all the time. I have to mention that. But I think they want him to be their guy. But it's just been so much noise lately with Aaron Rodgers. He didn't get along with McCarthy. Why don't they run route combinations? Was LaFleur really the guy Rodgers wanted hired? Are they getting along? Is Rodgers going to have the same responsibility? I find myself cool with Devontae Adams and really being nervous about the rest of this offense. And maybe that's squeamish, and I'm going to pay for that later. But Aaron Jones has been somebody I haven't picked a lot. I don't have a great reason behind that, because I think he is more talented than the other backs in the roster. But something just doesn't smell right to me in Green Bay, and I'm not really sure how to rectify that.
Well, first of all, Aaron Jones already has a hamstring that he's dealing with, and LaFleur has mentioned that this may be some sort of a committee or a split backfield. That concerns me enough that I don't have many shares. Leonard Fournette, I have plenty of shares, and it's not that I love his upside, and I know he has, you know, a nice low floor because he gets hurt quite a bit. And so typically you want to love guys who have a low floor and not as much upside. But I think there's probably, you know, what, a 70% chance he plays the full season? Even these guys who are more injury prone like Fournette, if we fade injury prone guys so much, it's not like he's coming into the season with an injury. There's a 70% chance he plays the full season. And I think if he does, he's a lock to finish as a top 10 guy. I don't think he has any chance to finish top three like Aaron Jones, if Aaron Jones is used the right way. But I like Fournette at 2-3 turn. I've got plenty of shares.
You make a great point. It's the difference between Fournette being already hurt and being a risk of getting hurt. Those are two radically different things. And I think that's an excellent point, that he's not hurt right now.
All right, so we're going to get to the sleepers here in just a moment, but first I want to tell you about a cool opportunity we have with NFL Game Pass. Only with NFL Game Pass do you get every out-of-market preseason game live. And with the preseason underway, you can start now with NFL Game Pass. You can get your first look at all the rookies and all the players on new teams. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. I'm most excited to watch a lot of these guys who are at the end of depth charts that are just super exciting players, like Mike Boone. I've talked about him before, can break a big play on any run or catch. And there's this third string quarterback on the Jacksonville Jags who can scramble like nobody's business. His name's Alex McGough, and I love to watch him play. And you know, when I'm watching all these games, it's going to help me a ton with fantasy football. And if I miss their games, I can replay it after it's aired. Whoever you want to watch this preseason, you'll need NFL Game Pass to do so if you're out of market. How's Kyler Murray going to look leading Cliff Kingsbury's offense? How's Mark Ingram going to look in the Ravens' offense? Can N'Keal Harry hold off Jacoby Myers and win over the Patriots' trust as a rookie wide receiver? Make sure to see all the action this preseason with NFL Game Pass. And best of all, you can kick off your 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. You can sign up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. All right, Scott, so we're going to get into our sleepers now. And what we're going to do is we're going to count them down backward from 8 to 1. For me, I have guys who are going outside the top 150 on my list. Now, that's a deep sleeper, but I think most people would say anyone going outside the top 10 rounds and someone who really hasn't done it before. I mean, the thing is, like, no one's really a sleeper in today's age, right? Because there are so many podcasts and articles and analytics and everything like that. But, you know, these are guys that I think are quality values in the late rounds who could potentially break out. So why don't you start us off? Who is your number 8 sleeper this year?
I'm going to start with Jamison Crowder, the Jets injury excuse last year in Washington. A lot of targets up for grabs with the Jets. Chris Herndon, who would have been a very popular sleeper to the point of maybe not being a sleeper at all, he's out for at least a couple of games. It's 4 games right now for the suspension for Herndon, which is a shame. But I don't think Anunoby is really that great of a player. I am a big Robbie Anderson fan, but you need more than one guy to throw to. Of course, Bell will soak up some targets. I think we might see a second-year leap from Sam Darnold, and I just can see in my mind's eye Darnold and Crowder being a good connection. It seems that they've already established some rapport. You never know how fast that's going to come when a receiver changes teams, but I think there's a very realistic chance that Jamison Crowder gets you he goes back to being that 65-70 catch guy that he was at his peak in Washington and is the best value in this passing game.
You know, with Jamison Crowder, I actually love the landing spot with the Jets. It's not that I think Darnold is that good. Of course, he's got upside. He's a young kid. He looked a lot better at the end of the season. He was kind of lost at the start of the year. But he lands with a quarterback who loves over-the-middle targets, and especially from the slot. We look at what he did last year, and Quincy Enunwa was valuable when he was in that role, but he's going to move outside. Crowder's going to be the inside guy. He's 5'9", 175 pounds, soaking wet, and he can get open. He requires, Darnold requires separation, and Crowder is the best on this team at getting separation. Robbie Anderson, meanwhile, goes up against the number one hardest strength of schedule for a number one wide receiver. So I don't buy into strength of schedule very much, Scott, but when it comes down to number one receivers, like the clear-cut receivers who are definitely going to be shadowed by the corners who do shadow, and there's like 10 guys who shadow, Anderson's schedule is just littered with them. So it's going to be rough for Anderson. I think Crowder's going to get a lot of over-the-middle targets, and the Jets have hyped him up as someone who could get 90, 100 receptions. I'm not going that far, but I think he's a really safe wide receiver 5.
I'm always sad when he gets picked. I think a few people are on the Crowder. I think there's a lot of rooms where maybe half your opponents aren't even going to consider him. So he's one of those guys that you feel like when a draft starts, maybe there's a 30 or 40% chance he's on your team rather than like the 10 or 15% chance if he was a neutral player that everybody liked about the same amount. So I'm already overweight on Crowder, and I think that trend is going to continue through the rest of draft season.
Okay, so tag's number 8 sleeper. Again, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just going to name them. James Washington, wide receiver for Pittsburgh. My number 8 guy is Tony Pollard with Dallas. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, he doesn't have the upside of a 3-down back. He hasn't had that many touches in the past. That's absolutely true, but Dallas is indicating otherwise. And it's absolutely possible, of course, that Alfred Morris gets the early down work. Tony Pollard is just a glorified Nyheim Hines. And there's use for that in fantasy. But I also think there's a lot of upside in the sense that Dallas could just say, well, Zeke's probably going to be back in 2 or 3 weeks if he does hold out at all. So we're just going to run Pollard into the ground, see what we have with him. And behind this offensive line, just like with Damian Williams being not very good in Miami, right? Tony Pollard could be great in Dallas because it's Dallas. It's the scheme. It's the offensive line. So I don't mind taking a flyer on Tony Pollard and just seeing what we have. What do you think, Scott?
I like it. I like it. I do think Zeke's coming back, but...
Agree.
Pollard obviously put a lot on the tape in college, and it's surprising that he lasted until the 4th round. I know part of that speaks to how NFL teams have backed off running backs as priorities, but I think he's going to have a role. Remember, too, when it comes to rookies, the running back is more likely to be a plug-and-play commodity than any other position. There's just less to learn, and the runs are more simple. Everybody runs the same handful of plays. It's, you know, passing games are so complicated, so the plug-and-play running back is much more of a thing than any other position. I think Pollard is going to be heard from one way or another in 2019.
So NFL doesn't start for another, 18 days here? If you're doing a draft in the next couple days, in fact, if you're doing a draft in the next 2 weeks, I would encourage you to not draft a kicker at all, to not draft a defense at all, because you can get a guy like Tony Pollard or maybe Darwin Thompson, something happens to Damian Williams, and they put Darwin Thompson as the starter instead of Carlos Hyde. Any of these scenarios, like we've seen in the last couple of years, James Conner, league winner, Spencer Ware got hurt, and Kareem Hunt is a league winner. And if you draft these guys at the back end of your draft, you can get a second, third round value out of them. You draft Tony Pollard right now, and you know what? If Zeke comes back, so what? You cut him. And then you pick up the same defense, same quality of defense or kicker that you would have drafted in the very last round anyway. I'm streaming the Dallas Cowboys at both positions for the first 3 weeks regardless, so I can pick those guys up an hour before kickoff. You hang on to these high upside running backs. Someone gets hurt every preseason. Last year it was Darius Guys, and maybe you can get a league winner here.
Great tip. Fully agree. I will say there's a corollary to that, that a lot of people live by that strategy, and I think it's a very sound one, but there's a point where it flips, where if your draft is, say, like the day before opening night,
yes,
at that point, you know, or even a few days, if you're drafting anywhere close to the final exhibition week where all the good players are in bubble wrap, at that point, I might just take the defense and kicker I want. And also, you mentioned Dallas. I mean, with these defenses, I believe, for one thing, play fantasy football with a microscope, not a telescope. These people are like, oh, this guy has a great schedule. You see who he's playing in December? So many things are going to change by
then. Right. World,
the NFL is a snow globe league. It's a reshuffle league. The deck is going to be completely reshuffled. The globe is going to be shaken, and everything's going to fall in a different area. And so many things... Defenses we thought were good might not be good. Defenses we thought stunk might be good. You know, maybe some elite quarterback will get hurt in week one and totally submarine an offense. I mean, so much is going to change. The NFL is a league where it gets tilted on its ear. Doesn't mean that we have to, there is a certain pattern to it. We have to try to make our best guesses on everything. I don't want to say that it's just fruitless to try to put any intelligent thought into it, but let's play it with a microscope. Let's look at, for that defense, let's say, hey, who's playing Washington week one? Who's playing Miami week one? Who's playing, you know, the weaker offense? There are four or five really bad offenses, the Giants maybe, that we can pick on. Let's pick on those teams and not worry about, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a great team in week 14. Because by then, you know, even on teams that you're successful and you think back and go, yeah, most of that went pretty well, you're going to cut like a third of your roster, maybe even like 40% of it. So much of it is going to change. So let's just focus on what we know ahead of time. I think that that is a great tip of how to handle the defense and kicker. But just remember that flips a little bit as you get closer to the start of the regular season. Back to my sleepers. I'm going to loosely use the term sleeper here. This is probably the most well-known, highest-profile player who I could try to sneak into this conversation. If anybody thinks, hey, this is too obvious, why is this clown on the show? Fine, go to me on Twitter. Troll me if you want. Because everybody knows who Matt Breida is, and everybody knows that Matt Breida was pretty darn good last year, but he's screened by all the congestion in San Francisco because they signed Tevin Coleman, who obviously has a background with Kyle Shanahan. I think people are starting to realize that Jerick McKinnon really was never in the way, and Breida was a much better value a month ago when McKinnon was going before Breida. Breida, of course, has his own injury concerns. I'm not sure there's really a true feature back on this team, but Matt Breida's efficiency last year in tape just jumped off the screen for me. And I think he still is the most talented back on the roster. He will go after Coleman. I want Matt Breida on my team. I'm just going to say, I think he's a good value right now. Maybe sleeper isn't the right term, but I'm a Matt Breida guy. I'm a Matt Breida wonk. And I go on any podcast. You have me on a baseball podcast, I'll talk about Matt Breida. I just got to get his name out there.
He's one of my favorite targets as well. I love that you brought him up. You can get him in double-digit rounds in a lot of cases, and this is a potential league winner. Now, obviously, Tevin Coleman's there. I think he's the lead back. It seems that way, at least. But if anything happened to Coleman, yeah, they would use other backs, but Breida and Kyle Shanahan's offense could be nuts. Let's keep in mind, it wasn't Tyreek Hill who was the fastest ball carrier in the NFL last year. It was Matt Breida, and Matt Breida was extremely efficient. He just dealt with injuries, and he played while injured, too, and was still great. I love this call, Scott.
All right. We're in violent agreement so far. I'll keep it going.
All right. Tags number seven sleeper is Lamar Jackson, and that's a great one. I didn't put any quarterbacks on my list, and the reason why is because I'm in one of two camps. If I'm going late round quarterback, and there's a certain point where you can take Aaron Rodgers falls to the sixth, Matt Ryan to the seventh, Cam Newton to the ninth, pull the trigger. That's fine. But if I'm waiting late round quarterback, I'm either going a high upside guy like Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, but more likely I'm going with a week one streamer. I feel like we look past week one far too easily. And so I'm going with Dak Prescott. I don't love him for the rest of the season. I've got him as my number 16 quarterback. But in week one, week two, week three, he's a QB1 every single time because of the three matchups that they have. So I just want to mention that since Tags is Lamar Jackson. But he has great upside if he's throwing the ball better than last year.
Right. Well, the Rich Rebar Kamani code, or like, I used to always say, it's just algebra. Like Tim Tebow, not a good quarterback, but it's just algebra. He runs the ball. And there's kind of a glitch in the scoring with fantasy football really reward the quarterback who runs the ball. Of course, you need to keep them upright. Jackson's a fascinating player because he's a dynamic runner. But the question is, how much can he run? Will he take kill shots? You know, will he be smart enough to slide or step out of bounds? I think generally the risk of a quarterback getting hurt running is a little bit overstated. So I think he's an interesting target. You also mentioned Ryan and Newton. They can never be called sleepers, of course. But because they're boring, I love boring value vets. I call them in baseball, I call them the Ibanez All-Stars. I never really found a football player whose name fit that. Maybe Joseph Addai All-Stars, but you know, I don't know if people even remember Addai that much. Mm-hmm. But the guy who has been around, we all know he's good. There's nothing buzzy about him. There's nothing shiny new toy about him. You know, Ryan and Newton, of course, both former MVPs.
Yeah.
Ryan very quietly last year was the quarterback two, and now you can get him anywhere from the quarterback seven to the quarterback 10. Now, part of that speaks to this. The depth is incredible at the position. So, I mean, everybody's going to think they're getting a great deal on their quarterback, in part because if you wait a quarterback, you know, you're going to get, oh my God, I got Ben Roethlisberger as the 14th quarterback. He was quarterback three last year. Of course, you're going to feel like you did great. Oh my God, I got Drew Brees. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't actually want any part of Brees. They backed off the volume of that offense. But the position's so deep, it kind of artificially makes everybody seem like they're an unbelievable deal because nobody's going to get screwed at quarterback. But if you're going to go boring at quarterback, I think Ryan and Newton are two excellent targets this year. And actually, I like Dak a lot too. The thing with Dak, full year with Cooper now, second year of Michael Gallup, who may end up showing up on my sleeper list. We'll see if that comes to fruition. And every year he runs in a handful of touchdowns, and I don't feel like that's baked into his price because he's not a Cam Newton runner. He's not really even a Russell Wilson runner at his peak. You know, or some of these younger kids, the way, you know, last year Allen ran with his hair on fire and Jackson was electric. Dak is just one of these guys who picks his spots around the goal line, and much to the chagrin of Elliott owners, he's got six rushing touchdowns the last 3 years. The only two quarterbacks in NFL history who have done that are Cam Newton and Dak Prescott. And it's not so much that Prescott has done this, and look, maybe he'll go back to three or four. I feel like it's something that's part of what he does, but isn't baked into his price. So I think you get, it's like the extra cherry on the sundae. You get it as part of the profile, but you don't necessarily have to pay up for it.
Prescott's been QB6, QB11, QB10. And let's not forget, if Zeke is out, they're probably going to be passing the ball more in those first couple weeks. Matt Ryan has been the number one fantasy quarterback over the last 3 years combined. Cam Newton, when he's been healthy, has never been lower than a QB4. That's exactly what he was when he got hurt last season. He was QB4 in fantasy. So I agree with all those. Now, mine is going really deep here at number seven. This is somebody who's being drafted outside the top 300. And I actually am using him. I'm starting him in week one. He's got a perfect matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, who were by far the worst against tight ends last year. Josh Oliver is injured, so the job clearly belongs to Jeff Swaim. D.D. Westbrook has a groin issue that he's dealing with. Marquise Lee's recovering from a knee injury. And Jeff Swaim happens to be catching passes from Nick Foles, who targeted Zach Ertz 9.1 times per game in 12 starts with the Eagles. That's the same number as Michael Thomas, more than Keenan Allen and Mike Evans last year. In Kansas City, he targeted Travis Kelce 8.5 times. Heck, in St. Louis, when Foles started, he targeted them 28% of the time. Jeff Swaim is an athletic tight end, and don't overlook the fact either that he caught 26 of 32 targets last year and for more yards per target than Zach Ertz. I think Jeff Swaim is flying under the radar. I'm not planning on using the whole season, but in week one, I'm starting Jeff Swaim in DFS and in redraft leagues.
That's a fascinating pick. Remember, you're a new quarterback. Who's to say who Nick Foles connects with? I mean, we'd like it to be Westbrook, but he's been hurt, as you said. They have a lot of pedestrian receivers. He does have a tight end pass. I mean, part of it, you know, Zach Ertz is a special talent, a Pro Bowl level talent.
He still passed the ball to Zach Ertz a lot more than Carson Wentz did.
Yeah, he certainly, Grant Wentz threw the ball a lot to Ertz last year, too, to the point that I think Ertz is actually, as much as I love the guy, I think he's set up to be a disappointment this year. But the way I would look at it is Foles, we don't know who his go-to guy is. We don't know who his first read's going to be at the goal line or who the security blanket is. Why can't it be Swaim? And somebody, and look, I don't even have Swaim in my top 30 at tight end. I do have him at the bottom of my tight end board. But, I mean, the fact that you're listing somebody who's freely available, you can pick up in almost any Yahoo league or, you know, any league out right now. I mean, I think it's an excellent pick. And what this exercise is supposed to be, to get people familiar with names that they may not know about. At least some of these guys should fit that. I know everybody knows about Breida, maybe even Crowder, my early two guys.
All right, guys, we'll move along in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about another one of our sponsors, Fantasy Draft. Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business, has partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10%, 12%, or even 15% or more of your entry fees to fantasy companies are over. No longer will you lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of entry fees paid to contest winners. 100% of the time. To access all of Fantasy Draft's exclusive rake-free contests, including the Hooters Million Dollar Kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss on your shot at this incredible $1 million rake-free contest and its $100,000 top prize.
I'll go a little bit deeper on my third sleeper. I love the Atlanta offense this year. They upgraded their offensive line. They're playing 13 of 16 games indoors. I mentioned earlier I'm interested in Ryan. Everybody knows Julio's great. There's tons of talent on this roster, and I think Devontae Freeman's a good player too. But Freeman's had an injury history, so we have to ask ourselves, what if Freeman gets hurt? I don't think Ito Smith is any good, and I think the Falcons are going to realize this. I'm really curious to see if Brian Hill can win the number two job in Atlanta, and I'm drafting him right now on the expectation that he will and that Freeman might get hurt. And then there we go. So it's look, there are a lot of number two lottery tickets. I'm not even sure Hill's the number two there right now. There's a lot of lottery. You know, you may want a lottery ticket Minnesota or Kansas City or all sorts of teams. You know, Pollard to some degree comes under that heading. With Hill, I think half of your league doesn't even know who the guy is. Or they'll say, oh, Atlanta? Ito Smith's the guy. I think Ito Smith stinks. I think Hill might be their number two back. I think they're going to realize it by the end of camp. And you can name your, you can pick him up right now for free or take him in the last round of your best ball draft. Brian Hill is squarely on my radar.
You know, it's really funny, Scott. You're probably the, I think, second or third straight expert to come on the show who said Brian Hill. And I've agreed with every one of them. I think it's pretty obvious he's going to be the number two. He's an electric athlete. It would be interesting to see him behind this offensive line in a very high-powered offense, and we know that Devonta Freeman hasn't been the epitome of health, so it is absolutely possible he's going undrafted. If you want to grab a last-round quarterback, say Tony Pollard starts to go a little bit earlier because Zeke is still holding out. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that he's a great call right up there with Darwin Thompson. And my next guy, Malcolm Brown, running back for the Los Angeles Rams. By the way, tags is Devontae Parker, and we'll be talking about him a little bit later, too.
I'm glad somebody hasn't given up on Devontae Parker. I feel like everybody else has, and I'm in that bucket. I'm on that bus of giving up on Devontae Parker.
Have you? Okay. Yeah, tags and I are both very high on Devontae Parker. Well, not very high, but
okay.
Yeah. I'll explain it a little bit in a moment.
Okay, I'd like to hear the background of that. I mean, you guys are smart. I knew we'd find disagreement eventually. I just didn't realize it would be on something like Devontae Parker.
But sure.
This could make for good radio.
All right, so my next guy, as I mentioned, is Malcolm Brown. I think most think, you know, kind of like Ito Smith, most think Daryl Henderson's a clear-cut handcuff for Todd Gurley in case his knee flares up. But if you look at what they've been doing, Daryl Henderson's having a little bit of struggle with the outside zone, and they've been talking about that. They actually have him fifth on their depth chart. Now, that's obviously going to change, but they kept Malcolm Brown when they tendered him to make sure they could keep him on their roster. And I'm not so sure that Daryl Henderson is that, you know, three down back. I think he's more along the lines of an Austin Eckler who can be excellent in this type of offense. But I think if Todd Gurley goes down, Malcolm Brown is getting the bulk of the workload.
And by the way, I am hands off on Todd Gurley. I want no part of that.
Are you? Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I'm interested in another Rams running back, whether it be Brown or Henderson. So that's very interesting to me.
Okay. So are you drafting Daryl Henderson or Malcolm Brown or both of them?
The problem with Henderson is I feel like people take him proactively. So I haven't been in on Henderson. I'm still kind of open-minded to, do I see Brown being ahead of Henderson to start the year? Is it going to be, remember the catch with this team, once you get to seasonal over best ball drafting, is you need the volume to be projectable. You need to be able to get to it before the game is played. And I'm a little bit nervous that McVay might be a tough coach to decipher beforehand, but here's the bottom line. I think I have Brown not ranked high enough given my girly skepticism. I probably need to move Brown up, and as a result of this podcast, I'm probably going to do so.
You know, we saw what C.J. Anderson did, and let's be honest, he was quite a bit overweight last year, and he was phenomenal in this offense because teams only stacked the box against the Rams 20% of the time. Brown would be the goal line back, I would imagine. Even if he's just splitting touches with Daryl Henderson, if he gets half the fantasy points in Gurley's absence, That'd make him a week-to-week RB2, I would imagine, with upside for a lot more, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with the Rams with my next pick. We know they have three great receivers. Robert Woods, I think, should be the first one off the board of that group. A lot of people would say it should be Cooks, who I think is a little bit harder to figure out week to week. I mean, receivers, the volatility position anyway. Kupp's coming off a major injury, and the offense wasn't anywhere near as good after Kupp left, which I think is probably a correlation we can make. You don't always know why things happen, but I think Kupp's injury had a lot to do with that offense, losing some of its mojo. Josh Reynolds was not an electric player last year when he got a chance to play, but another year of experience. He's still early in his career. I think all you have to ask yourself for relevance for Josh Reynolds is, did a receiver in front of him get hurt? If yes, then I think Reynolds is going to be at least a receiver three on most fantasy sheets, and maybe even better than that, depending on if he's improved at all at this stage of his career. So when I'm looking for that, he's an easier best ball pick for me when I'm just looking for somebody with plausible upside at the point where everybody you're picking is basically a drag. But even in seasonal, the catch is, can you hold them long enough? Because you're going to see a shiny new toy you want in September. But I think Reynolds is a sleeper value because I think anybody starting this offense can be an every week fantasy factor. A Kupp off a major injury. You know, Cooks, I'm not completely in love with. Not that he's going to beat out Cooks, but the point is, there are three receivers ahead of him. One of them gets hurt or hits a speed bump. I think Josh Reynolds is in fantasy play.
I think so as well. I think he would be a very solid flex play with, again, upside for more. Tag's next guy here is Anthony Miller. Tags and I both love Anthony Miller.
Me too.
Yeah, he's got a ton of upside right now. Obviously, his shoulder has to stay in place this year. It was dislocated, what, 4, 5, 6 times last year? So hopefully the surgery fixed that. But he was great while he was hurt. So I think that's a really good call, Tags.
I don't like rookie receivers. I don't draft them. But I love when a rookie receiver, or a tight end for that matter, is not over his head. Looks like he belongs in the NFL. That's why I'm not sure if Christian Kirk is too popular for this segment, but I'm a big Kirk guy because he was on the Arizona offense last year that was the Titanic, and he somehow survived. And you know, Anthony Miller, all sorts of things went wrong. He couldn't stay healthy. The shoulder was busted up. New coach, young quarterback, all sorts of moving parts. Allen Robinson joined the team. The Chicago offense, it felt like it was kind of an on-the-fly work in progress. And Miller never looked like he didn't belong in the NFL despite all these things working against him. It's a little bit frustrating that he's not completely healthy right now, apparently. But I think if you had talked to me a month ago, I would have said, I want him on all my teams. I still want him I want to be overweight on Anthony Miller. Let's put it that way. He looked like he belonged as a rookie. I think there's an excellent chance that he has a second or third year spike. Let's give it a shot this year.
I like Allen Robinson a lot, but it would not surprise me at all if Miller passes him up because Miller's a stud and he's playing in the slot. Taylor Gabriel had 93 targets in the slot last year for the Bears. Trubisky, even going back to college, loves his slot receivers, and Miller is substantially more talented than Taylor Gabriel. Nothing against Gabriel, but Miller's just a stud, so I'm excited to see a healthy version of him with an improved, hopefully, Mitch Trubisky. My number five sleeper here is another running back that most people consider third on the depth chart. It's Justin Jackson for the Chargers. Same kind of thing. I think Austin Eckler, we saw him as a third down back in London, and it was pretty ugly. Jackson, meanwhile, tore it up in his opportunity as the starter. He has three down capabilities, and even the history back in college, he was an absolute workhorse. If Gordon were to hold out, I think there's a sizable chance that Austin Eckler remains in the role he's best fit for, and Jackson assumes the majority of Gordon's 18 touches per game. In this offense, I think one of the most agile running backs in the league, and I really believe that when you watch Justin Jackson on tape, he can make people miss like nobody else. I think he has the upside to be an RB1 if the dominoes fall for him to get touches.
Interesting. I think they do want Eckler to be the primary guy, but he's a smaller back, but he's got a pretty decent BMI. So they obviously can't handle him the way they would handle Gordon. And I don't know what to do with Gordon. Yeah, for a while, if you talked to me 2 weeks ago, I would have said, third round, let your hair down. A lot of those picks miss anyway. But now it's becoming more plausible to me that he's actually going to miss a chunk of the season. And I'm a little bit squeamish on Gordon. But I think I'm more of a pro Eckler guy than I am a pro Jackson guy. But, Jackson goes later. And it is plausible that he's at least a 50-50 guy here, if not the primary back. I mean, it's uncharted waters. I mean, people say, well, what did they do last year? That's still a really small sample size. If Gordon doesn't play week one, if Eckler has a mediocre game and Jackson really tears it up in his segment, then the next week, Jackson's probably going to be the primary guy. That's how these teams do things. It's not like they've cast it in stone. And this is why a lot of times the backup or the handcuff can be a misleading thing sometimes. Because people, we think we know. It happens in fantasy baseball, too, with the saves. We think we know, oh, this guy goes down, it's the other guy. And sometimes, no, it's a guy from the minors. No, it's a guy who was converted starter. You know, it's a guy off the practice squad. No, we made a trade. It isn't always clear with that definition. So sometimes the third running back or the perceived third running back can be the value there. I certainly see the pro case for Jackson.
All right, guys, we'll move along in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors. It is ButcherBox. They make it easy to get high-quality, humanely raised meat that you can trust. Every month, ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage-breed pork, and wild Alaskan salmon directly to your door. And shipping's free. The incredible quality of ButcherBox meats starts with a commitment to humanely raised animals that are never given antibiotics or added hormones. By taking out the middleman and purchasing direct from a collective of ranches, ButcherBox is able to buy meat at a lower cost and pass those savings on to you. Choose from four curated boxes or customize your own box so you can get exactly what your family loves. So when I got my box from ButcherBox, I was absolutely shocked with how much meat they actually sent. And the thing about this grass-fed meat is that you can really taste the difference. It is just better food, and they're not going to pump your body with hormones. I absolutely love ButcherBox. I'm going to be ordering it again on my own for sure. So each box comes with at least 9 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual-sized meals. ButcherBox delivers right to your door on dry ice. There's no commitment. You can cancel any time. And like I mentioned, it's affordable. The price is just $129 a month, which works out to less than $6 a meal. For $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon, go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros or enter promo code fantasypros, all one word, at checkout. Again, for $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon, go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros or enter promo code fantasypros at checkout.
I'm going to go on a running back who I'm just betting on the talent here. I know there's a bunch of guys in front of him, Justice Hill. Again, I'm not afraid of rookie running backs because it's plug and play for the most part. Yes, they have Ingram. Yes, they have Gus Edwards. Yes, they have, they always seem to have 7 or 8 backs and about 200 tight ends on that roster. And they have a quarterback who could run. But I think Hill might just be so electric an athlete that when he plays, once that Pandora's box is open, there's no closing it. I think he may have, they might just get a situation where they give him 4 or 5 touches in a game. He rips off 2 long touchdown runs and like, wow, what are we sitting on here? This guy has to have a bigger role. I would encourage people, I know you're going to be proactive with those early pickups, and I'm always going to say don't get married to your bench. If you do draft Justice Hill, just try to give it a few weeks to develop. I really think something special might come out of the box.
So, Scott, everyone who listens to this show anytime in the last 3 months knows that I'm just sitting here smiling because I'm so pumped about Justice Hill. He's the number one on my list. He's past David Moore as my number one sleeper. I think he's both got a safe floor and a huge ceiling. We're talking about a team that from the moment Lamar Jackson took over, ran the ball 45 times. Second most in football was 33. Obviously, that's going to come down. Let's say it comes down to 35. We've got Mark Ingram, a 30-year-old veteran who I think was propped up by the Saints offense. And I'm not saying Mark Ingram's not good, but I think he's very overrated compared to, you know, considering what he did in that offense and how he's 30 years old. We look at Hill in the preseason, and Justice Hill, he made 5 tacklers miss him in 9 carries. Mark Ingram hasn't done that in years, or if ever. Justice Hill he's a freak of nature. I think he's going to be using the passing game where they have no number one or even number two receiver. I mean, who is their number one receiver? Is it Willie Snead?
Oh, it's ugly. It's so ugly. I can't even talk myself into Mark Andrews, who I want to, because he's a splash play waiting to happen, because I don't think this passing game is going to have any production and juice to it, and I don't know how much he's going to be in the field. I think snap counts can be a little bit overrated for tight ends because who cares if they're not in the field when they're running the ball anyway? I just want them running pass routes. But I think a lot of smart people came to the wrong conclusion about Kittle last year because of that. Oh, his snap rate. But every time he's on the field, they're throwing him the freaking ball. But I'm afraid to draft Andrews because I just don't know if this passing game is going to be bankable. But there's going to be some fun. Because we know, right, the rushing quarterback opens up running lanes. You just hope that Jackson doesn't take too many of the rushing touchdowns with him. That's the other side of that coin. But, yeah, Justice Hill is something special. And, again, I try not to hold – you can't hold everybody forever. It's you know, stash everybody. That's not really advice. Try to hold Hill into October. I think you're going to be really glad you did.
I think that's a really good call. And, you know, I think that he – I've mentioned this before. I think he's a bigger, faster, stronger version of Philip Lindsay. Tags has said he reminds him of Reggie Bush, same type of player. I think he's going to carve out a Tariq Cohen-like role. And I think he's got upside to steal this job from Mark Ingram and just be an absolute stud.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, so tags number four is Damian Harris, backup running back for basically a replica of Sony Michel if anything's to happen to his knees. My number four guy here, it was Josh Gordon a couple days ago. And, you know, we probably should have talked about the Josh Gordon news at the start of the show. It happened like at the beginning of the weekend, so I forgot we haven't talked about it. Where do you have Josh Gordon ranked?
He's in the mid-20s for me. I think he's going to be a little bit overdrafted. Because now all people can imagine is, oh, and he's desperately what they need, right? They have no outside element to their passing game, no size element to their passing game. I was joking earlier this offseason that the two most important parts of their passing game aren't here. Gronkowski's not here and Gordon's not here. But can we depend on a full season? Are we even sure he's playing opening day? I don't think we know that. The Patriots don't tell us anything. I'm rooting for Gordon as a human being. And he was a pretty good player, not electric, but pretty good for the Patriots last year. I think in a full season, he'd probably eke over 1,000 yards and score anywhere from 6 to 8 touchdowns. I've stopped believing he's just going to turn the league on its ear. I think his upside is a little bit overstated. Brady is certainly somebody who doesn't force the ball to anybody. Edelman's always going to be involved in this offense. James White is always going to catch his, you know, 65, 70, 75 balls, whatever it is. They always have a couple players on this offense who aren't good enough to play for fantasy, but are good enough to kind of get in the way. Mm-hmm. That's always been the way they they do things. So Gordon's one of those guys. If you drafted him in a seasonal league and you have recouped all this extra value because now he's going to go much higher, I would be trying very quietly to trade him. And you don't do it directly. You say, hey, yeah, I got some really good receiver depth. A couple things have fallen out. You're pretty right for me. Do you want one of my receivers? Let them come to Gordon. I mean, you don't have to trade him. Just see what the market is. I think right now, a lot of people with Gordon are the hungry person in the supermarket where everything looks good. You know, you want to buy everything. I think Josh Gordon is a little bit, his value is a little bit over the skis right now.
I like that idea of putting him out there, you know, letting them come to you about trading for Gordon. I will say this. He played over 50% of the snaps in 8 games last year for the Patriots. And in those 8 games, he had 619 yards. That's a 12.38 pace. He had more yards in those weeks than DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. Over the course of a full season, I mean, we're looking at, he would have had T.Y. Hilton numbers if you extrapolate it. Just double it because he played 8 games. I'm not saying that's who he's going to be. And obviously, you have to bake into the cost, you know, the notion that he could very well miss games, get suspended indefinitely again. I would put him in the conversation with guys like Tyler Boyd, Kenny Golladay. I've got Kenny Golladay pretty low, so that's going to make some people scoff. But yeah, I've got Gordon in my upper 20s in my rankings. Wouldn't mind getting him, but I'm not really drafting wide receivers in that range because that's Chris Carson, Sony Michel territory.
I love Carson, by the way. I'll have a lot of Carson this year.
Everyone who's come on the show loves Carson. I don't understand why his ECR, that's expert consensus rankings for those of you guys listening at home, I don't understand why it's not a lot higher because everybody seems to love him. I've got him as my running back 15 right now. Now, my number four sleeper, I'm going to move Dallas Goedert up here. I had him down at number 9. You know, I would never advise drafting a backup tight end ever. Except for this year, right? I think that he's got top 6 upside if anything happens. In fact, I would lock him in as a top 6 tight end if anything happened to Ertz in the preseason. And I think he's got upside to be a top 3 guy, a superstar right away. It's kind of like when we draft these backup running backs. Like, if anything happens, you've got yourself a stud. Goddard's really the only backup tight end, or really backup wide receiver where I can say that about and feel pretty confident.
It's funny. I think there's a really wide usage tree in Philadelphia this year, and that just makes me so excited to draft Carson Wentz. And again, look, there's a million right answers at quarterback. But I'm worried about Ertz losing maybe 20 to 30 targets. And I don't know how much DeSean Jackson has left as far as being a fantasy factor. But we know he still scares defenses. I think he still led the league in yards per catch last year. So I think he helps the team just being on the field and running 9 routes. But I don't know how much they're going to throw to him. He might just be thrown to the ball just enough to get in everybody else's way. We're at a dangerous part of Alshon Jeffrey's career. We know they like to generally go backfield platoons. We'll see if Sanders can mess up that apple cart. I love the talent on this offense. I love Goddard. I would be over the moon for Goddard if he's on a different team. But I do think they're going to find ways to use him as a hybrid, use 2 tight end sets. Certainly if Ertz were to get hurt, I see the case for Goddard. The bottom line with Philadelphia, though, is there's so much crowding in this offense. I find myself really excited for Wentz, really excited for the offense as a whole, but a little bit leery of drafting some of their skill guys.
All right, so I've got 2 left. You've got 3 left. So why don't you give me your number 3 guy here?
Yeah, this may be more value pick than sleeper. You know, a lot of people say, who's this year's George Kittle? And I don't think there is one. It might have been Herndon if he wasn't hurt or suspended, but that's out the window now. But the value guy I like at tight end is Austin Hooper. And I think he's just become a boring guy to a lot of people. 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. You know, he's not a big touchdown guy. But he's gotten better every year. Improvement isn't always linear. It seems like it's been linear in his case. And because he's gotten a lot of targets and a lot of priority in the two-point conversion game, I think there's touchdown upside here. Now, we know, for whatever reason, Julio Jones probably should score 12 to 15 touchdowns a year, and he just doesn't. Calvin Ridley is obviously a very good football player, and you know Freeman's going to score some touchdowns. Sanu is not a nothing as the third receiver. So there's a lot of guys here. But I think it's perfectly reasonable in Hooper's range of outcomes that he may have a 6, a 7, an 8 a touchdown season coming at some point. You don't have to pay for it. He did catch 71 balls last year. I know the yards per catch was very low. I think you're going to buy in at his floor. And I think because of that two-point trend with him, I think that means they like him around the red area. He's certainly a safety blanket for Ryan anyway. I think he could easily double or maybe even triple his touch, not to 12, but he might score anywhere from 5 to 8 touchdowns. I think that's reasonable for Hooper, and you're buying in probably at his floor.
You know, I've really come up on Hooper in the last couple weeks to the point where he's now my number 9 tight end. He finished as the number 7 tight end last year, and I understand it was really volatile week to week, but tight end is such a touchdown or bust position. If anything was to happen to Julio Jones or Calvin Ridley or Mohamed Sanu, I think that we would be drafting Hooper a lot higher. My hesitation is that he's got all three of those guys. But over the course of a full season, something is bound to happen. It always does.
Also, you know, when my colleague Frank Schwab, NFL writer at Yahoo, was doing the team-by-team previews, a series that he wraps up when the Hall of Fame game kicks off, the Falcons preview, I don't know, it went live late July. And I was doing a fantasy nugget for Frank's previews. He did this very exquisite, detailed preview, and I just throw in like 2 or 3 paragraphs about fantasy. And I advised people to get Hooper, who at the time, his tight end ADP in Yahoo was outside the top 20. And I said, this is crazy. You're getting an unbelievable discount here. He's being drafted after Hockenson, drafted after guys who have no resume or pedigree whatsoever. Well, Hockenson has a pedigree, but guys who have no resume whatsoever. I thought that was crazy. That's since corrected. I think his ADP in Yahoo is probably around tight end 11 or 12. But even that, I think, is underselling him. And I think maybe because he doesn't have the exciting upside that a lot of other tight ends have. Because if you don't get the top 3, you can talk about O.J. Howard breaking the game. You can talk. We've been waiting for Hunter Henry for so long to not have Antonio Gates in the way and to be healthy. So people are excited about that. People love that Evan Engram is basically a jumbo receiver. I think he had a faster 40 time than Odell Beckham. Mike Zelfino, my colleague and podcast partner, likes to point out that stat. So there's a lot of exciting tight ends. Hooper isn't really an exciting guy, but I think he's a boring value. And a lot of times, boring value is my jam in fantasy football.
All right, it is Devontae Parker time. First, I want to mention Tags has Mitch Trubisky as his number 3.
Of course he does.
Yes, he does. I like Trubisky as an upside guy. He's got a long way to come in his passing game. He's pretty raw there, but he's shown some flashes. I like his upside. I'm willing to take a flyer on him. But Devontae Parker is my number 3, and hang in with me while I explain this, okay? Don't turn off the podcast right now. I know he's been a bust, but it's been for 2 reasons. Injuries and Adam Gase. When Parker plays at least 75% of the team snaps, he has 60-plus yards in 20 out of 34 games. He's been good when he plays. Every other receiver who can boast that rate since Parker entered the league is being drafted in the first 4 rounds. You can get Parker 120 picks later with ease, and let's not ignore the fact that he's moving on from Ryan Tannehill to an absolute gunslinger. If you extrapolate Ryan Fitzpatrick's minutes out to a full season, 5,400 passing yards. Now, granted, that was in Tampa Bay. He's got a lot better weapons there. I'm not saying he's going to pass for 5,000 passing yards or anywhere close. What I'm saying is it's a clear upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. I think Devontae Parker is the number 1 receiver. He's been matched up with Xavien Howard in training camp opposite of him. Xavien Howard is clearly their cover corner. Plus, let's not forget, Adam Gase is leaving behind the 31st fastest tempo in the NFL with the Dolphins. He could get an extra 100 snaps this season if they move up into the next quartile. That's almost 2 full games worth of snaps. Now, granted, Parker has to stay healthy, but if he does, I think he's the number 1 receiver for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're getting him almost for free.
How dare you besmirch the likely starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans?
Do you think he's going to start over Marcus Mariota?
I think he's going to start like half the season.
Yeah, I think before long, Mariota's going to lose his job, and it'll be Tannehill. There's a lot of Titans fans who are so mad at us for saying that, by the way.
I know this is crazy, but I went down a rabbit hole a couple weeks ago on Twitter and on the internet trying to figure out, in the Tom Brady era, obviously, you know, Brady has been who he's been, At one point, Chad Pennington was really good in Miami. I was trying to figure out, after Pennington, who's been the biggest quarterback rival, the biggest AFC East quarterback in the Brady era? And people are like, it's not Mark Sanchez, is it?
That's what I was thinking, Mark Sanchez.
It's not, you know, Tyrod Taylor, is it? And the funny thing is, it might be Tannehill. I've actually come around to the point that maybe Tannehill wasn't as bad as people think. I'd run out of Miami. You know, maybe it was Gase's fault. Maybe it was the supporting cast fault. I think there's a chance that he actually might be better than Mariota. And I'll also take the loss on that when Mariota and Winston, not that Winston's had a great career by any means. I thought Mariota should have been the first pick. And when Winston was struggling out of the gate, Mariota was pretty good his rookie year. I was kind of taking a victory lap, which I'm not really my best look. I'm not a victory. I try not to be a victory lap guy, but nothing worse than the victory lap that looks bad 10 seconds later. You know, I've given up on Mariota. I think Tannehill might be the guy they need there. And also, man, I know Corey Davis is only in his third season, but I'm sick of waiting for that. Delanie Walker's a million years old. Henry doesn't catch the ball. Deion Lewis gets hurt a lot. That offense, I mean, yeah, I guess Humphreys for cheap PPR volume, whatever, but that's an offense I really find hard to get behind.
Right, and they'll probably still find a way to make the playoffs because that's what the Titans do.
They're the Shrek of the NFL, no doubt about that.
Minus 80-point differential, and they're in the playoffs.
I think I'm stealing one of yours here, or at least I'm going to duplicate it. We did mention David Moore earlier. Obviously, Metcalf out of the mix. 17.1 yards a catch last year, five touchdowns on 26 receptions. I know the touchdown percentage, touchdown rate can be a wonky stat, not sticky year over year. But in what was essentially his first year, his second year in the NFL, but his first year playing, he didn't embarrass himself. And now there's going to be, you would think that target total could even double. And it's only more important for him in the offense now that Metcalf's hurt. He'd be a great, you can get him still as, I think, receiver six, receiver seven, a great last best ball pick. And even in seasonal, I think he might play enough in September. The key with our bench guys is we want that quick reveal. Again, I told you, please, you know, hold Justice Hill as long as you can. But if you draft David Moore, you're not saying, okay, maybe around Halloween he'll be good. You need him to show something early or you'll drop him. I think he actually might reveal something quickly and become somebody you trust as at least a member of your bench.
I love David Moore. He is my number two here. A lot of people are probably surprised he's not number one, but Justice Hill's my number one. And it's really not even close at this point. I have to get Justice Hill in every team. But you're right, with Tyler Lockett, he's averaged no more than 4.4 targets per game at any point in his career. And you can say, well, Doug Baldwin was there last year. Even when Doug Baldwin was out and Lockett had a chance to take a step forward, Brandon Marshall led this team in targets. I think Lockett's great at what he does, but I think that's the extent of who he is.
Is that true? Brandon Marshall led them in targets?
Yeah, isn't that wild? And so David,
I must have, you know, gone to see Sean McGuire and blocked that out in therapy. That's unbelievable. I have such a limited memory of him being on the team. I mean, I remember it.
I was shocked when I discovered that. But my point is, I don't think Lockett can be this number one. Yeah, he's going to get a bump from 70 targets to maybe 85. I don't think he's getting 100, 120. I think David Moore could lead Russell Wilson's team in targets. And remember, last year, he had more fantasy points per target than DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Davante Adams, Michael Thomas. And then you watch the tape and it's like, wait a second, this guy's a good football player. I wrote up last year after I watched the tape one game, I was like, this guy would start for almost any other team in the league. I don't know why Seattle's not running him out there more. He played like 40, 50% of the snaps. If he's playing all the time, and Pete Carroll's been hyping him up, saying this guy's awesome, he's going to be in the first team. And now obviously DK Metcalf's hurt. I think David Moore has quite a bit of upside.
The only thing that makes me a little bit nervous is it's just you're getting married to one of the worst offensive coordinators, I think, in the league. But
yeah,
he's going to be a starter.
427 pass attempts for Russell Wilson last year. Not good.
You have Russell Wilson. You have Russell Wilson, and you know you only use him when the game situation demands it.
Yeah.
My number one quote unquote sleeper, and look, this could be a lot of guys. You're looking at a non-starting running back who has explosive potential. We saw what Minnesota did last year. They're throwing the ball over the joint. Mike Zimmer said, enough of this, fires the offensive coordinator. They go back to 1977 football. That's how they want to play. And then all sets up for Dalvin Cook, and that's fine. But Dalvin Cook has an injury history, and I'm not sure that Dalvin Cook is stout enough to handle a heavy workload for 4 months. So whoever his number two is, it may be Alexander Mattison. It may not be. I mean, there may be another deep sleeper on this roster.
Mike Boone, baby.
Yeah. So if you want to say this is a Mattison Boone, slash pick, which is kind of cheating, I have no problem with that. But I have a sense that one of these guys is going to have like four or five games of fantasy juiciness. I think at one...
RB1 right away. If we know who the starter is, he's an RB1 when he starts.
Yeah, he's a no-doubt starter. He's going to be a no-doubt fantasy starter. He's going to be the guy that every show says... Oh, did you pick up the Boone this week or Madison this week? Like, you know, anybody else doesn't know about it. You know, it's going to be the obvious. And then he's going to score on 108 Eastern time on Sunday. And I'm going to say, you know who liked Boone this week? Everybody, you know, because it's going to be the most obvious thing in the world.
Oh, man.
I want to see Cook healthy. I want to see what he can do 2 years removed from an ACL. But I got to have some hedge plays. So I'm going to have some Madison. I'm going to have some Boone. This is one of my favorite places to throw a dart and to make a spec ad for my bench.
I'm so glad you didn't poo-poo on the Boone thing, because Tags always tries to, and I'm like known as the Mike Boone guy. I have been since this time last year. I love his tape. And you want to talk about an electric athlete. Dalvin Cook's not the best athlete in this backfield. It's Mike Boone, and it's really not even very close. I love watching him play. Now, I think Madison has the upper hand. Right now, they were talking about Mike Boone not even making the roster. Amir Abdullah's hurt, though. Boone's going to make the roster, and if he keeps playing this way, I think he might get the first crack. So I wouldn't mind having shares of both of them. I agree, this is a good handcuff situation.
Okay.
And then finally, Tags number one and number two, Geronimo Allison number one, Carlos Hyde number two. And Scott, that's all we have for today's show. Really appreciate you coming on, and especially for validating a lot of my opinions. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm here for you, man. You know, forget my own opinions. If you just need some backup, I'm happy to be your number two. I'm happy to be your goose to your Maverick.
Well, thank you. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Butcher Box. For $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon, go to butcherbox.com/fantasypros or enter promo code fantasypros at checkout. And thanks also to NFL Game Pass, where you can get a 7-day free trial at nfl.com/fantasypros. And then finally, you're going to want to get your hands on a part of the $1 million prize pool at the first rake-free $1 million contest at fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS, for your free 7-day trial membership. And don't forget to check out our draft assistant at fantasypros.com/draftwizard and our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. For Scott Pianowski, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.